that saying that everybody needs a trusted Christian friend, and that we can, I'm sorry, saying that everyone needs hope, and that it can come through a trusted Christian friend, that we can have hope, and we can help people come to Jesus, who is our hope, because we're trusted Christian friends. We are to not walk in faith alone. Micah was sent with a message to the people who were not trusted Christian friends, and that is where we will continue the journey of hope in a hopeless situation. Micah was sent to talk to the people who were evil, vile, and plan to do harm to the good people. He was a countryside preacher, and you hear the story of hope throughout Micah. If everybody will turn in their Bibles to Micah chapter 2, and then give me your thumb when you're there, I'm going to read all 13 verses. Micah chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. Alrighty. There's a lot going on in this passage. It says, "Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields, and they seize them, and houses, and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be a time of disaster. And that day they shall take up a taunt song against you, and moan bitterly, and say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To an apostate he allots our fields. Therefore, you will have none to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not preach, thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Has the Lord grown impatient, and are his deeds? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly. But lately my people have risen up as an enemy. You strip the rich robe from those who pass by trustingly with not thought of war. The women of my people you drive out from their delightful houses. From their young children you take away my splendor forever. Arise and go. And for this is no place to rest, because the uncleanliness that destroys, which a grievous destruction. If a man should go about and utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be the preacher for this people. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together like a sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. He who opens the breach goes up before them, and they break through and pass the gate. Going out by it, their king passes on before them, the Lord at their head." There is hope in a hopeless situation. What is going on in this passage? What is going on in this passage? Before I continue on, flip over to Micah 6:8. I want you guys to keep remembering this verse. Too far. I went all the way to Matthew. Micah 6:8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." They were not walking humbly with their God. They were not doing justice, and they were not loving kindness. The people were stealing. They were devising evil plans. It is a warning to keep those, my first point here, pray for the people with evil desires. I want to pray for the people with evil desires. It is, in Micah chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it is a warning to those who keep awake to plan evil. In Proverbs 4, 15 and 16, it says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. These people that were the rich, Micah was coming against the rich. He was coming against the people that were idol worshiping and coveting and breaking the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. These people were coveting their neighbor's house, and they wanted them. And they were seizing the land. They were taking widows' homes, you know, and the widows that were they were taking the homes from were the men that they killed. There was all kinds of evil going on in this hopeless situation. It's a hopeless situation. And Micah is coming to talk to them and saying, these people, God is coming after these people. But there's a remnant in Israel. There is a body of believers who still love God. And we're going to take those people and we're going to take care for them. We're going to put them as like a sheep in a pen. And Jesus is going to be the head. That is a hope in a hopeless situation. My commentary on critical and explanatory on the whole Bible says this. They devise, they work, and they practice. They do evil not merely on sudden impulse, but with deliberate design. Deliberate design. People do things deliberately, okay? Saddam Hussein deliberately went after people and killed multiple people, committed genocide. Hitler devised evil. He laid on his bed and wrote things about evilness so that he could carry out an evil, murderous act against the Jewish people in World War II, right? Judas was filled with the devil, and he devised an evil plan to go against Jesus, to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. People are filled, not all people, but there are some people who are just so evil that they just cannot feel like they've accomplished something until they've made somebody stumble. That's what they live for. That's what they live for. They devise it, they work it out, and they practice. And so we as Christians, what do? We have to do the exact opposite. We have to plan for hope, and we have to practice hope, and we have to give hope, right? We have to do the exact opposite. And Micah was doing the exact opposite, and he was telling the little remnant that believed in God, hey, there's a hope. There's a hope for you. These people were taking from the poor the inherited lands and abusing them. And God said, I'm going to meet these evildoers with calamity that they cannot escape. And do you know we're to pray for those who persecute us? There are people who will tell us to quit talking about homosexuality. Don't preach against homosexuality. Don't preach against gluttony. Don't preach against money. Don't preach against this. Don't preach. And yet, Micah was told to stop preaching, and he still preached that God is coming, and he's got something for you. God is coming. We are to preach hope, because that is where the truth is, and the truth, there is hope. God's word is full of truth, 100% infallible. Micah was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was preaching truth. And we are to pray for those who persecute us. In Ukraine, there was a Russian soldier who didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be fighting on the front lines in Ukraine. And he surrendered. And you know what the Ukrainians did? They gave him a cell phone and let him call home so that he could reach his family. I think that's praying for those who persecute you. Showing love to your enemy. We are to show love to our enemy. We are to be hope for them too. Be hope for them too. We as a church can restore hope in our communities by showing the love of Jesus. My second point is, preach the truth no matter what, in Micah 2:6. Micah 2:6. Micah was told to stop preaching. Look at verse 7, or verse 6. Do not preach, thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Disgrace will not overtake us. Yet Micah is saying, you people, God is coming, and your necks will not be able to escape this. And they said, stop preaching that. And Micah's like, oh, I'm going to continue to preach this. And as a matter of fact, he defended God, the character of God, and his right to judge them by asserting these truths. Number one, his spirit had shown great patience. God had patiently been patient with this group of people for generations, right? And they went through three kings. If you remember, he was in Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Three kings. And that was like a 30 to 50 year span of these three kings. Micah was around at all three of these kings. And his counterpart, Isaiah, was preaching in the cities. And he was saying the same thing. You guys need to repent. You know, we have to turn away from this evil, and we have to stop idol worshiping. And God had been greatly patient, and he had had enough. God could not justly be accused of any wrong. God was not being wrong in this situation where he was coming and saying, look, this is a pretty hopeless situation. I have to clean house. The Assyrians are coming, and they're going to take you over. His words always led to blessings for those who applied them in leading a righteous lifestyle. These were truths that false teachers were not willing to hear or preach. And this is taken out of my Moody commentary, these three truths right there. People are not willing to listen to truth. Many people are not willing to listen to truth, but there are some. If you guys heard what happened in Ukraine, is that, hey, there's a hopeless situation. We're being bombed, but they're more willing to accept the cause of Christ. The gospel is being opened in the tough places. And I have to tell you, there are times where I come to work and I'm sharing with things with people, and they just don't seem to want to listen. Sometimes I feel like Greenville is a hard place to reach. Maybe you're in your workplace and you feel like it is a hard place to reach. Maybe you're preaching the truth and people are telling you to stop or to be quiet. But I'm here to tell you, you continue to preach the truth no matter the situation, because that is more God-honoring, and God will honor that because God's character is good. And God's character gives us hope. Micah was there for two reasons: to tell the enemy that they were wrong and to give hope to those who love God. And we are to, he wanted, I'm sure if these people would have repented of their sin, I'm sure that there would have been forgiveness. But there was unforgiveness. There was no repentance, and therefore there was no forgiveness. The Assyrians were coming. And why are we to preach the truth? We are to preach the truth because the truth is hope for all. We cannot water down sin and call it good. We cannot call evil things okay. That brings hopelessness to an already falling world. We preach God's word obediently because we have the message of hope. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all the other ground is sinking sand, right? He is our hope, right? Jesus Christ, our living hope. We can overcome any situation because of God and his word. As a church, we can overcome some of these situations in life as a church fit body because we have hope. It doesn't matter what the amount of money looks like. It doesn't matter, you know, how many numbers we have in the congregation. If we're preaching truth and we're loving God and we're loving each other, God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. And I think Micah was telling him that God was going to take care of those who love God. Here is something I want to read to you about a Christian Missionary Alliance international worker about their location. They're in a hard-to-reach place. Our country is not open to anyone who comes to share their faith. For this reason, the only way we can hear is by running a business. But running a business in a developing country is not an easy thing. There is a steep learning curve, and many Western business practices don't work here. This also brings the hardships of trying to do spiritual ministry while having to also work hard at our business, all while operating in a language and culture not our own. They're in a hard-to-reach place, and they said their country is not open to the gospel, so they have to run a business. And they have to reach people who are not reachable. But and they don't mention a name because they're in a hard-to-reach place. They're in a dangerous country. All of our IWs are going into hard-to-reach places and places that they can't even tell us they're going because they're trying to bring hope to the hopeless. They're trying to restore. They're trying to be the Micahs in those situations. They have something that God has told them to preach, and they got to preach it. Micah was being faced with the opposition to those around him who hated his message of God is coming for you. They hated that message. Stop preaching that. Stop. Disgrace will not happen to us. Disgrace will not overtake us. Yet Micah is telling you, disgrace will happen. So what can we do as a church with this passage? First of all, I think we need to take the term trusted Christian friend and we need to apply it to every one of us. All of us feel like we have a hopeless situation going on in our moment in life right now. People are battling sickness. People are struggling financially. People are taking on a new adventure, stepping out in faith. We have each other as a church family. And when hardship happens, we need to come together and pray together. And we need to pray the enemy away. Because Satan wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy this church the body. He wants to destroy the flock. He wants to take me out. We need to have trusted Christian friends in this life. We cannot walk in faith alone. Micah was not walking alone when he was preaching this. And I want you to focus on verse 12 and 13 real fast. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel, and I will set them together like a sheep in a fold. Like a fold, or like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. He who opens the breach goes up before them, and they break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king passes on before them, the Lord at their head. Those guys are trusted Christian friends to one another. They have to encourage each other, like, hey, look, the Assyrians came and they destroyed our country, and they have to love each other, right? We as a local church have to love each other. We have to be there for one another. We have to be trusted Christian friends to one another. We have to give hope in a hopeless situation to one another. So when I make an all call and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving a happy Thanksgiving on the day of Thanksgiving, it's because I love you guys and I am your trusted Christian friend and I want to give you hope in a hopeless situation on that day. And when I call or text and ask you how you're doing, it's because I care about you and I want to be your trusted Christian friend. And when you come into my office and you come in for biblical counseling, I want to restore your hope in Christ because I'm your trusted Christian friend. And here's what else we can do as a local church. We as a church have sent help to the Pregnancy Help Center. That place offers hope in a hopeless situation for those who are looking to abort their baby. They walk into the Pregnancy Help Center thinking they're going for one thing, and they come out with another. They come out with baby clothes. They come out with hope. And they come out with hearing the gospel at the Pregnancy Help Center. And we have sent help to those people. We as a church have Brianna's Hope. that is offering hope to those who are in addiction. We are giving them hope. We are telling them the gospel. We're sharing the gospel message with them that Jesus is the answer, and you don't have to be an addict. You could be called the son and daughter of God. You don't have to be an addict anymore. We as a church can point people to the head of the church, which is Jesus. I have something else I want to share with you out of the Alliance Life magazine about building hope for the urban poor. And I really enjoyed this story as well. But think about our church and how we can be building hope for those around us. Before I read this, I really struggled with this passage, and I asked the Lord all week, how can I give hope in a hopeless situation? How can I give our church and give a message of hope through this passage? I struggled with it for days. I sat there for hours. I looked at many commentaries. And I hope that you're listening and walking away with feeling with a little bit more hope, that we can preach the truth because we have hope, and that no matter what the situation, there is hope. So imagine a young woman with a veiled face standing under a tin roof. She is seeking to sell her body to the one of the tourists passing by. She knows that because of her imprisonment in the sex trafficking industry of Southeast Asia, she will no longer be considered a first wife. Shame follows her. Shame follows her everywhere, making a loving God's presence seem impossibly far. Yet, something stirs her heart when she overhears a conversation next door where women are chatting over tea. They are talking about a new vocational school open to women who are looking for a way out of the industry. Stepping into the doorway to let the other women notice her, she is both excited and terrified. In 2018, we began to partner with local believers who are already hard at work, demonstrating God's love to exploited, traumatized, and often overlooked people like the young woman depicted above. Since then, your generosity has allowed a small sewing program in a cramped, rented facility to rapidly expand its reach so that today it serves up to 120 women per year. Graduates from this vocational school earn a certificate that enables them to secure factory jobs in the garment industry. These graduates include 47 former prostitutes who use their sewing skills in work that brings them reliable income and dignity. Among the women attending daily classes are 56 refugees who fled violence in a neighboring country and are struggling to find acceptance in their new home. God has used the sewing program to open follow-up house visits, often with people asking for healing prayer. Through the sewing program, the women of the majority religion hear the gospel for the first time. These encounters are, however, the only first step in building a long-term Christ-centered relationships in a city dotted with worship sites for other religious groups, but still without a building for Christians to worship openly. At the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, our ministry partners and other members of their newly formed house church purchased land at a steep discount. It was a faith-filled move amid extreme chaos and uncertainty, and your giving made it all possible. In a bustling city of rickshaw drivers, hotel maids, and day laborers, our program leaders cemented their commitment to their neighbors by embarking on a journey to build a 5-star community center where they will operate the vocational school and an educational boarding program for youth from remote hill tribes. Several local believers have taken ownership of the project. One of these is Anika, who is well known in the community for the many women she has taught. Her persistence with local government officials has allowed her to succeed where others fail. She acts as an advocate for the marginalized and has brought sanitation channels, electricity, and sidewalks to an underdeveloped area by convincing the local government to act. She even had a deep well dug in the property where the community center will be built, and she has provided clean water to many surrounding families at a very low price. Another courageous local believer is Tazruel, who envisions reaching every remote tribe in his native country with the gospel. Because of your generosity, he is implementing this bold vision through the residential boarding program, which allows youth from remote villages to complete their secondary education in the city. They are nurtured in the Christian faith and go back to villages equipped as evangelists to their own tribes. And it's more than just a building. The selfless devotion of leaders like Anika and Tazruel reminds me that a church is a family of believers, not a building. The building is only a tool. However, when placed in the hands of hardworking, compassionate, and resourceful servants, such tools can enlarge a family of believers' capacity to serve their neighbors in bold and creative ways. Once complete, the community center will relieve our local ministry partners of the monthly burden of paying rent on borrowed facilities for the vocational school, office space, and an assembly place, and a personal residence. It will also allow them to expand income-generating programs, increasing the long-term sustainability of our work. We have only started to dig the foundation for the community center, and as we plunge our hands into the silty soil, the task of completing the 8,000-square-foot facility can seem overwhelming until we remember not to rely on our own understanding and the provision of God, but on God's. If he can build the mountains, how hard is it for him to build a community center? Your giving is a tangible reminder of his capacity to do immeasurably more than we all ask for and imagine. Ephesians 3:20. Our loving Father makes a way for a prostitute to escape, accomplishing his purposes through people like you who act as conduits of his love and generosity. That is hope in a hopeless situation. Those people are like a Micah in those hard-to-reach places. Our church seems like it's in a hard-to-reach place in Greenville, Ohio, and we can build this church on Christ, the solid rock. If you find yourself being told not to preach truth, do it anyway, because Jesus is our hope in all hopeless situations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together to open up your word and to read about Micah, who was preaching truth when the truth was not being listened to. Father, we ask that you would just be over CMA Church. Help us to be trusting Christian friends to one another through the help of the Holy Spirit. Help us to rely on one another. Help us to be friends to each other. Father, help us to be welcoming to those who are looking to get out of bad things. Help us to build a community center here, Father, that would give hope in a hopeless situation. Help Brianna's hope as they preach the truth. Help people to come away from the term addicted, or, I'm an addict, and come to, I am a Christ follower. I am a child of God. Help those who are looking to launch new businesses. Help them to have hope in that difficult thing. That's a difficult task, but Father God, they're walking in obedience. Help them to be able to reach those who are not reachable because of that. Father, we pray for those who are out and work in other areas of the community, other venues. Father, we pray that they would have wisdom and discernment as they reach those who are in hopeless situations. Father, we ask that we can walk in obedience and that we can continue to show the love of Christ through and through. Help us to continue to be a beacon of hope in this community. Father, we thank you so much for the IW who is in that hard-to-reach place that says their access is not open to share, just be able to freely share the gospel. And that, Father, they have to build a business. And Father, we thank you for this this message, this story that we just read, where they're building a community center in Southeast Asia, and they're getting women off the streets, and they're teaching them a trade so that they can make money. And Father, we thank you so much for the story of Micah and how he was bold and sharing the truth. Father, he had a message you gave to him, and he preached it. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that Jesus is the head of the sheep, and that Jesus is the head of this church. And Father, we ask that you would allow Christ to just reign here. Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we had to worship with you. We have one more song, Father, and we just pray that it would, as we lift our voices to you, Father, that you would hear our praises as we sing them to you. You are so holy and just and righteous, and we stand on the word of truth because we know that in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. So, Father, we know that the Bible is 100% true because it all is about Jesus and whom we put our hope. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Through joy.